Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys, the Movies. And Kevin, this week's In-Flight Entertainment is brought to us by the Sci-Fi Channel and Resident Evil Apocalypse.
Yes. I like the Resident Evil movies.
I like the fact that we've just now figured out that we can sit here and watch TV while we record.
I know, it's amazing.
This is actually the most phenomenal breakthrough we've ever had in our now 83 episodes.
83rd episode.
Wow. Crazy.
That includes a couple of the internet-only complete episodes where we swore like
special sailors. Editions. Yeah, special editions. But this week we've got all kinds of fun stuff to get to. We've got an animated movie from the Weinstein Company that should be interesting. We've got Samuel L. Jackson to talk about. We've got a bunch of our favorite people: Ricky Gervais,
Dane Cook.
I'm sure Peter Dinklage will come up. I'm sure he's in one of the four movies that are coming out this week.
If not, he should be.
But before we get to that, here's how you can get a hold of us. Go to fatguysthemovies.com. You can also hit us on iTunes. Search Fat Guys the Movies in the iTunes store, and we pop right up. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or give us a call, 614-388-8735. And I think it's important to mention that we don't have any medical problems that we need people to call us about.
We do not have appointments at the VA hospital.
No, but someone does, and for some reason
they gonna
keep
die.
Apparently they keep calling us. And
yeah. We'll talk more about that when we review
our government run healthcare system at work.
There you go. You just made my argument for me. Thank you so much. Well, give Michael Moore a call. But let's move on to another one of our favorite people to talk about. There's a bunch of movies coming out. This is really correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't remember last year being this much of a dumping ground for movies.
It's been bad.
I mean,
it's been so bad that I think that we just had an off the air discussion about which movies we're not going to go see next week.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, usually August is considered the dumping ground, but September has really become the dumping ground.
Right.
And, you know, even though Burn After Reading was good, but there's just, like, they're releasing, like, the last week of September, they're releasing something like 6 or 8 movies in limited and wide release, whereas, like, September 1st, they released one movie with Nicolas Cage and a mullet.
Nice.
Fighting each other.
Nice. Well, first up on our list this week, we've got The Dane Cook. He's back on the big screen, this time with Kate Hudson, Jason Biggs, and Alec Baldwin. I believe the apocalypse is about to begin.
Dustin isn't good with the ladies.
Someone had a rough night.
I'm Mr. Right. Just not Mr. Right now. What do I do?
Hank is paid to be bad.
I'm going crazy without her.
Okay, now what'd you do?
Let's just say you're going to have to be a real jerk to make me look good.
That's what I do.
Now, Dustin's last resort...
I could just hire you.
...is to make a deal with the devil.
She's going
to
cry tears that form call Dusty.
Okay, that was weird.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I actually think that each film that Dane Cook stars in is representative of a horseman of the apocalypse. And I think this is like the third major movie that he had Employee of the Month, then he had Good Luck Chuck. And while he's done other movies, these are his headlining romantic comedies. Now he's in My Best Friend's Girl. He's got one more until Fire and Brimstone Rain from the Sky. And the rapture happens.
I'm sure it'll be out before the end of the year.
And Michael Bay will make that movie. Care of one of our loyal listeners.
Right. We got an email this week from Drew, who had a fantastic idea for a new Michael Bay film. But it's really not appropriate.
You know what? You would be like Tea Party the Musical, and you'd be like, Michael Bay could direct that.
Absolutely.
And it'd be awesome.
Yep. So we didn't get to see this My Best Friend's Girl movie. Although, I will say this. I am a fan of Kate Hudson.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But, I mean, there's nothing in this movie, I think, that I couldn't see seeing another Kate Hudson movie.
Yeah, you could watch something like, you know, The Skeleton Key, or you could watch, what was the one she just did, Fool's Gold?
Fool's Gold, and dare I say that even Matthew McConaughey is more palpable than Dane Cook as an actor?
I don't like to think of... Let's just put this, I don't like to think of taste, so to speak, when I'm talking about either Matthew McConaughey or Dane Cook, but if I had a choice,
Matthew McConaughey.
It would not be Dane Cook.
Fair enough.
You know, I mean, Tina Fey, she can pull off a scar. Dane Cook can't.
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, they didn't screen this first. Lionsgate actually had a really interesting track record where they weren't screening anything, and then they had this period just like through the spring and the summer where they were screening stuff. They screened like the Forbidden Kingdom, and they screened a couple other movies, and then they screened Disaster Movie for us, and that pretty much killed them ever wanting to screen anything for us again.
Right, and there's currently a pool going as to whether or not the Spirit will have pre-screenings, but I doubt it.
I'm not holding my breath, because aren't they doing The Punisher too?
Yeah, that one's no way. The Punisher's going to be terrible.
Because they're not going to screen The Punisher, or they will. They'll test screen The Punisher like they did, because technically they didn't screen Disaster Movie. They showed it on Thursday night.
Right.
And I think they'll do The Punisher the same way. We might get a screening on Thursday night, and if that thing tanks, we're not going to see a Lionsgate screening until they have their next Oscar pick.
Right.
Because they screened...
Which will be never, because their studio is basically going into the toilet.
Well, yeah. So. Well, they did last year, they did 310 to Yuma. That was like their first screening they had all year.
Right.
And they don't screen the Saw movies. Yeah, they got lucky. Although I like the Saw movies.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, this movie looks... It's a Dane Cook movie. So.
And it gets a preemptive suck.
Takes
all the necessary work out of it for us.
You know who I pity in this whole scheme of thing? I have such pity for Jason Biggs, because he had such promise.
And then he did that one with Eva Longoria, and then this.
Oh, yeah. This looks like it's the same character from that movie.
Right.
Only just kind of making him a bigger part of the movie.
Right.
Because Eva Longoria was so god-awful. You know what's a funny story? Here's a little piece. They're all debating on the buzzes. Is she pregnant? Is she not pregnant? Because she's gained weight, supposedly, for the new season of Desperate Housewives. Eva Longoria.
Oh, Eva Longoria.
And they're all... Well, Felicity Huffman, who plays, the cancerous androgynous woman from the show, married to William H. Macy, she basically came out in the news and said, no, she's not pregnant. She's just fat.
Nice.
Isn't that... And I couldn't figure out whether...
That's something that only friends would do for each other.
Well, yeah. I'm trying to figure out whether that was like... Her being a good friend, or her being a little snide, little catty comment girl.
So. Fun either way. Anyways,
I'm not pregnant. I'm just fat.
Just fat. We have another movie to talk about before we go to a break. This one's going to be easy too, though, because they didn't screen this either.
Igor. A little mutant Igor faces challenges when he tries to win the evil science fair.
Sorry, master. I was in the bathroom, had a bat stuck in the belfry, if you know what I mean. I'm sick of being treated like just another Igor.
Igors don't think!
Ow! If I had my shot at the science fair, I'd have the greatest invention of all time.
An Igor inventing.
Pull the switch!
Do not yell at me.
Please pull the switch.
Wait, why does he get to pull the switch?
Stop.
This one is being heavily advertised on kids' networks, so my kids want to see it.
I have no idea. Well, I knew it was coming. It kind of came out of nowhere.
Though, I mean, it's really only been advertised on the kids' network. You're not even seeing like a whole lot of online stuff.
It's John Cusack's vehicle.
Yeah, he does the voice of Igor.
I mean, I get it, but...
It looks... Whatever. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Happily Never After.
Yeah.
But it'll look like it'll be sort of like a cross between that and what was that one? Hoodwinked.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it looks like. I mean, it looks cute enough for kids, but I really don't think it's going to have much of an audience. And then again,
that,
you know,
and
like,
they're not. It's the Weinstein Company. They pretty much buried it underneath.
The Weinstein they haven't had a hit since 1408.
So there you go. Preemptive suck for not showing it to us.
Yes.
Again.
There. Take that.
We got our two favorite studios out of the way, Lionsgate and the Weinstein Company.
I guarantee they're both going to bomb this week.
Nice. When we come back, we'll talk about movies that might not bomb. And as I mentioned before the break, two movies that...
Oh, are we back?
Might not, Mom.
I was watching Mila Jovovich on Resident Evil Apocalypse.
There was that big mutant dude. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to derail for a second here. I will say the most recent Resident Evil Apocalypse, the one set in Vegas.
You mean Extinction?
Extinction, whatever. I forget the names. But it was actually pretty entertaining.
It was okay.
It was the first one that I had seen on the big screen. I've seen all four, but the other three I saw on DVD, so...
What was her name? Ali Larder.
Yeah.
From Heroes, and she had done it before she did Heroes, because she sort of like bopped around Hollywood. She's done a whole bunch of stuff, but never really made it big until Heroes.
Right. Well, she was in Varsity Blues.
Yeah, but
she wasn't that big. Amy Smart got the big win out of that one.
Yeah, James Vanderbeek. I don't want your life.
Anyways, back to movies that are coming out this week and not movies that came out 10 years ago. Up next is one of my favorite people. Not actor. I mean, his acting skills.
Patrick Wilson.
Are not, of course, but his acting skills are irrelevant. He's Samuel L. Jackson. And in Lakeview Terrace, he plays an overbearing neighbor to a young couple that just moved in next door.
I met our new neighbor, Abel Turner.
And?
He has a very special brand of humor.
He's got security lights.
Maybe we should put sheets on the windows.
Sheets? We need bricks.
Your outside lights are shining right into our upstairs.
See how that could be annoying?
No, I got nothing against you.
But I don't need you putting your bedroom scenes out here for my kids to see. Maybe there are some places where that's okay. And maybe that's where you ought to live.
You keep saying stuff like, we're not welcome here, we should move. Just stay out of my life.
You have a good night, Chris.
Now, this one, what's funny is on this segment, we each have seen one of the movies.
Yeah, we decided to split them up because there was no physical way for us to both see both movies, or we had to both go see one of the two.
Well, and if you're listening to this somewhere else, like in California, some of our listeners are out there, we're from Ohio, so we had this massive windstorm come in.
Oh, we did?
Last weekend.
Did I mention that I didn't even notice that happen?
You didn't get, my power only went out for like an hour or two, but like, it's like taking a week to restore the power throughout
it's
the
terrible.
City.
Is that a hurricane?
Yeah, and like the PR agencies that were running the screenings, their power was out. So I was actually going to drive out of town to see it, to see Ghost Town, which is our next movie. But we had to, I could get no confirmation, and it was just such absolute disaster. Right. So God was keeping me from this movie.
No, not this movie.
I saw this one, yeah.
So tell us about Lakeview Terrace.
It's not that good. let's just go out and hand like that. Last week you had Righteous Kill with Al Pacino and Robert De Niro, and really the only reason to see that movie was if you really like those actors. And similar to Lakeview Terrace, where if you just like to see Samuel L. Jackson be a bad dude...
Right.
This is the one to watch. It was okay. It's by Neil Butte, who did, of course he did like the one he's most, that was a breakthrough role was in the Company of Men. But he also did like The Wicker Man. So,
and Nurse Betty.
Well, Nurse Betty. Yeah, that did well. That's probably his
biggest Normal hit. Adolescent Behavior. He got a special thanks on that.
Great.
I mean, that's pretty big.
Do you know you can make a movie, you could shoot a movie with your camcorder of us just sitting here and watching Resident Evil talking on microphones, and then put special thanks to Steven Spielberg, and you list that on IMDb, it'll link Spielberg's page to yours. That's a little trick people do. So that means nothing. Right. Anyways. No, this movie, it's trying to be like a suspense movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it to a certain degree. I mean, but the characters, Patrick Wilson and Kerry Washington,
who's play the couple. Hot.
She's smoking hot, but I realized she's not a leading lady because she sort of delivers all her lines the same way.
That's not good.
Yeah, I mean, and she's not that great of an actress. She's awesome to look at. So I'm okay with that. But she's just, sort of bleh as an actor. And Patrick Wilson is bleh as an actor.
Right.
And they come in and they're like, they do some stupid things. Like they go and have sex in their pool while he's got his kids next door looking out. And I'm like, yeah, I could see where he get mad at that. And it kind of escalates into this thing. And it's in the backdrop of the wildfires. And
right.
So it's like this supposedly like, oh, impending doom symbolism and stuff. And really with a movie like this, you get... It's one of those you just have to get wrapped up into it. We were in the screening and like there's a part where somebody has a gun on somebody else and people literally are yelling in the audience, shoot him, shoot him. And we're like, they can't hear you.
Right.
So if you're one of those kind of people who just get that wrapped up in a movie that you're going to yell out in the middle of it, what the character should do next.
Yes.
You might want to go see it.
Who knows?
But if you're one of these people who watch the movie and you'd be like, yeah, all he has to do is... videotape this guy doing whatever and
right.
send it to the internal affairs.
Is that how it ends? Did you just spoil it for
me? No. It has nothing.
Not like I'm going to see it anyway.
That is not how it ends. Not cool. Nearly as exciting. But yeah, it sucked.
Cool. All right. So that sucks. Moving on. We've got Ghost Town, where Ricky Gervais plays a man who dies for 7 minutes during a routine colonoscopy. And when he wakes, he discovers that he can communicate with ghosts.
Did anything unusual happen during my procedure?
You died.
I died?
A little bit.
For how long?
7 minutes.
A bit less.
I died for 7 minutes.
A bit less.
Everybody dies.
I was dead. And then when they brought me back, I can... Oh, the dead have a lot of unfinished business, which is why we're still here. Why are you dressed like that? Were you a maitre d'?
You wear what you died in.
You want your quiet life back, I'll make you a deal.
My wife, my widow, she's getting married to a bad, bad guy. Somebody's got to stop this.
You do this for me, you'll never see any of us ever again, okay?
This is the one that I saw this week, and I'm happy to report that I got the better end of this deal.
You definitely got the better end of the
because,
deal.
Because, well, let me just say this. If you take Ricky Gervais out of this, and for those who don't know who Ricky Gervais is, he's the guy who did The Office in Britain on the BBC, and he does the show Extras, and he's done a couple bit parts. This is really his first...
If you saw Night at the Museum, he was the guy who ran the museum.
Yeah, I mean, this is really his first leading role, and... if you take him out of the equation, this movie is not that good. It's very unimaginative. It's very...
Kind of like Lakeview Terrace.
It's your average formulaic rom-com, you know? So it's not that great. But once you insert him, that dry wit of his and that just deadpan delivery and, you know, his British accent, he absolutely makes it all work. He's
you love the accent,
hysterical. I do. Well, I love his delivery, and I think he is...
If Dane Cook spoke in a British accent, I think you'd like him better.
I probably would. But he's absolutely hysterical.
How was Greg Kinnear in this?
Greg Kinnear was okay. Greg Kinnear, in a role like this, where he plays Frank, the dead guy, who's really kind of a dolt.
Yeah.
He gets killed on the day that his wife finds out about his yoga instructor girlfriend. And Taya Leone plays his wife... And then so he's got to get...
What the heck is she doing
He's got to get this dentist, played by Ricky Gervais, to make it right with his wife so that he can, you know... It's basically a ripoff of Ghost, but it's a romantic comedy.
Yeah. You know? Well, or what was the one that they had with Robert Downey Jr. and Keira Sedgwick?
I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like that one. I don't even remember what it was called, but it was... Movie where he saw dead people. Yeah, because they got crashed in a bus and stuff like that.
Right, so, you know, I mean, it's not...
Did I just say they got crashed?
Yes.
They done got crashed.
It's not an incredibly original idea, but Ricky Gervais makes it funny. There's actually a scene between him and Saturday Night Live's Kristen Wiig where they just have this...
Who the heck's that?
Kristen Wiig. She's from...
She's from Saturday Night Live, great.
She's from Saturday Night Live. She also was... do you remember...
No.
What was the...
Oh, yeah.
The Katherine Heigl movie, the funny
Knocked
one.
Knocked Up?
Knocked Up. She played, and when they were in the office, and it was Alan Tudyk and the other girl.
Oh, she was... She's
the other girl.
She's the one
in the office.
She was the one who was mad that she...
Yeah.
Oh, she was in Brother Solomon.
Yeah, Kristen Wiig.
Oh, she's awesome.
So she's hilarious. There's this whole 2-minute uncomfortable conversation because she plays the doctor who accidentally kills him during
the colonoscopy. Yeah, you know, I saw that in the trailer. Okay.
Absolutely hysterical. I've decided that if those two made a movie where it was just them having an awkward conversation for 2 hours, it would be the funniest movie of the year.
How many people actually die during colonoscopies?
I don't know. They have a really weird way of explaining it in the movie, which I thought was clever.
I mean, I can see you dying of embarrassment. Because no matter who you are, you can be the coolest guy in the world. I mean, who's the coolest guy in the world? Who do you think's cool? Coolest, you know, Daniel Craig.
Sure.
If he's getting a colonoscopy, it is not his proudest moment.
No, definitely not. So, you know, this one, if you have not yet experienced the full Ricky Gervais, this is a good way to go to lead in on it, because this is really his movie. And
wow, it sounds like you're talking about cocaine. No. You're like, if you have uncut, pure Colombian Ricky Gervais.
The other thing, though, is this is the same character that he's played in everything else. So
except for Alias.
Except for Alias, sure. But for his part, he really needs to maybe do something else. But you know what? This works for him. So more power to him. Otherwise, it's not that good of a movie, but Ricky Gervais makes it
You know,
all
if,
work.
It, he reminds me of if you took Hagrid from Harry Potter and washed him in hot water and then ran him in the dryer and he shrunk and then shaved.
Okay.
That's Ricky Gervais, a small version, a small clean-shaven version of Hagrid from Harry Potter.
I don't know. What I will say, though, I have no idea what you're talking about at this point. I will say this kind of rocks. Ghost Town is easily the movie to see this week, but that's not really saying a whole lot.
I'm going to second that simply because Lakeview Terrace was bad and these other two can't be that good.
Right.
Can't be that good. I just hiccuped.
Nice.
I'm sorry.
And on that thought, we leave you to a break. We'll be back.
Ah.
miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh yeah.
And as promised, we have come back, and we just
do not fear, we're here. We did not leave you.
We just watched before we had to turn the TV off because the season premiere of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is on. I can't be distracted by that.
Caitlin Olsen's totally.
And Caitlin Olsen's hot. But we did just watch a special sneak preview of My Best Friend's Girl, and we're still going with the preemptive suck, even though we've now seen the behind-the-scenes featurette.
Not to step in a bear trap here.
Yeah.
But the director did. You know, I don't want to revisit the whole Tropic Thunder R-word thing.
Right.
But the director comes out and he's like, there's something about this movie
that's special,
it's very special, and you know you have to think special in a Short Bus sort of way.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're talking about the movie Short Bus, right?
You know, I never seen. I've actually got a copy. I've got a word screener sitting at home. I've never watched it.
Good job.
There you go.
Anyway, speaking of,
it wasn't on the ballot. I'm like, well, I didn't.
How about a movie that we both saw? An indie spotlight movie that we both saw.
Rock
and I believe,
on.
I don't want to spoil anything, but I believe we both enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Battle in Seattle. It's about the World Trade Organization riots in 1999 in Seattle, Washington. It's directed.
No, that's not what it's about.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
It's about.
No, yeah. it's about Megatron and Optimus Prime in Seattle.
No.
Duking it out.
No, it's directed by Stuart Townsend. It is. Stars Martin Henderson, Michelle.
You got really
Rodriguez.
Worried there for a second. You're like,
no, I'm literally reading right off the page here.
Like, what movie did I watch?
But it's got Charlize Theron in it, and here's a clip.
We believe that all the protesters will be concentrated there.
How many protesters are we expecting?
Several thousand.
It's taken 2 years to bring the World Trade Organization to Seattle, and we did it.
Be tough on your issues, but be gentle on my town.
Go. The protesters have seized the intersections outside.
Nobody in, nobody out.
You bring in the National Guard, the whole community's gonna become alarmed.
This is what democracy looks like.
Nervous, Johnson?
Nervous?
You're ruining everything we work for, and we stopped them today.
And what about tomorrow?
The battle in Seattle turns into a war.
This one, well, it's directed by Stuart Townsend, which I believe is his first film he's directed.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know
he's
who he is,
he's acted in a lot of stuff.
Well, not in a lot. He's done some things. He was in the movie. He was in the.
He's Charlize Theron's boyfriend.
Is that really
his claim to fame?
Well,
unfortunately, because he's actually a decent writer, director, and actor.
Because you have to dig back. He was the guy who played Lestat after Tom Cruise played Lestat in like whatever that.
Queen of the Damned.
Queen of the Damned.
Oh, okay.
And he was also in. There was a show, the remake of the show, The Night Stalker.
Oh, okay.
The old one.
He also played Dorian Gray in the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
That was a dumb movie.
Yes. And he was in Chaos Theory, which is one of my favorite movies of the year so far.
Oh, whatever. He's shill for the studio.
But
I got my name on TV.
No, Chaos Theory, I didn't get my name on TV.
Yes, but you did for other things. We'll hear all about it next week.
But I really like Battle in Seattle. I thought it was a very well-made film, especially if you're going to make a political film. You know, my theory is stick to your guns and make your political film.
Well, but I didn't think the message was over. But this is what I respected about it. It was obvious that he was coming in with an opinion.
Right.
But he wasn't hitting you over the head with
true.
It. True. And he really kind of tried to do it fair and balanced to the sense that it wasn't...
Not Fox News fair and balanced, but like real fair and balanced.
Don't knock on Fox News. Fox News is awesome.
They do the tune themselves.
Whatever. Have you watched CNN?
I do. I write for CNN.
The Clinton News Network. anywho.
Wow.
No, but I thought that it was nice that he didn't... Well, like it was... in a way, it kind of reminded me of the one... George Clooney directed with David Strathairn. Good night, good luck.
Good night and good luck.
Where it was so obvious, they're like, and I'm not defending McCarthy, but they were like, we're just gonna completely make him out to be as big of an idiot, and we're like, rah rah and everything, and it was just so heavy handed with how much you're like, okay, I get it, you guys really hated this, and you're really on the side of the news guy, whatever his name was. But the whole point is that this one, it just kind of threw it out there. And it came in with an opinion, but it avoided that rah-rah, we're all on one side kind of thing. It showed the chaos that ensued from the event.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It definitely did.
Did I steal your thunder?
No, I don't know. I didn't have any thunder with this one. But I will say that I thought he really assembled a very solid cast.
Well, with the exception of his girlfriend.
Well, no, Charlize Theron was good in it. She played an interesting role. Andre Benjamin was also good in it. He's been in some up and down movies.
He was surprising.
Michelle Rodriguez was very good. Martin Henderson, who plays the lead protester, was very good. And then the other guy, Raid, I don't know how to say his last name. The guy from, what was he in? Raid Serbadesia.
Wow.
Whatever his name is.
Let me put it this way. I'll agree with you.
He's that Russian guy in every movie I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, is he the guy with the beard? And
yeah, totally. He was a homeless guy in Batman Begins who said, nice jacket.
He was the guy in 24 who lost his arm, and he was the one in The Saint who...
He's in like a million and a half movies, and he delivers some of the film's more interesting moments.
Well, I will say this about the actors in the movie. With the exception of Charlize Theron, who I just think she sometimes chews the scenery a bit. I think everybody impressed me at what I would have expected of them. Now, like Channing Tatum, for example, is in the movie, and he's a terrible actor.
Right,
but even he acted above his level.
Right.
In this movie, I thought all the actors
he
really
did well within the confines of the film.
Yeah, well, and what I thought was interesting about it is, and it reminded me a little bit of the movie I Heart Huckabee, because I Heart Huckabees. I guess I Heart Huckabee would be a different movie. That would be a political movie.
That would be,
but this would be I Heart Huckabees,
and it would be directed by Chuck Norris.
Well, that would be awesome. what I liked about it was it showed. Not just the chaos. It's about when the protesters basically shut down Seattle.
Right.
During the WTO
came in 1999. Yep.
And while they were incredibly effective in what they did, and their plan worked, and it was also it also helped the fact that the authorities were not wanting to cause a big problem. They didn't want the protesters to get on the news, and it kind of they left that back door open for them to really sort of shut the city down.
Mm-hmm.
But as organized and as perfectly as this was planned, it still resulted in chaos on their end as well.
Right. And they didn't want it. That was the one thing. That's the one thing you really see is how the bulk of the protesters did not want it to get out of hand.
Well, yeah. And you had different groups. You had the anarchists. You had the peaceniks. You had different people who had different... Everyone had a different agenda and they couldn't unify that.
Right.
Which caused them problems as well. And that's the way it did with I Heart Huckabees, the director of that... whatever. We're forgetting names all over the place.
Who knows?
We should go to the VA hospital. but David Russell, or Charles Russell. David Russell. One of the Russell guys.
It's David.
David. And he made a point. He's like, whenever you're in some sort of like organization that has a cause, it's always hard to get everybody united because it's a political thing within the organization. Everybody wants to have control. And then you have all this infighting. And that's why none of these very few of these causes ever really do much.
Right.
Because they just kind of fall apart. And I thought that was really kind of cool. I mean, I thought it was a neat movie just to watch just chaos explode by lack of action and by specific actions.
Faux show.
Yeah. Good job, Stuart Townsend.
Yeah.
You may have a career
this
outside
movie,
Charlize Theron's pants.
There's rumors that they're going to have children.
That doesn't. It's not going to stop them from breaking up when she gets older.
But this one is. Hold on, I'm looking something up at this point.
Okay. We'll just pretend
it's not opening that wide.
It's very limited.
It's very limited this week. I think it's getting wider next week on the 26th.
Yeah, it's like New York, LA. It's literally just a couple theaters.
So, but I would highly recommend if this is in your area to check it out.
Check it out. Neat film.
We'll remind you of that next week as well. So moving on to the box office, which is kind of important as well.
Women came in the top five.
It was in the top three.
No, it was in the top four.
It was... Oh.
Righteous Kill beat.
Oh, yeah. It could
pretty
be
solid.
Wasn't I the one that said Burn After Reading was going to win?
Probably.
Sweet.
I'm just happy that a Tyler Perry movie didn't win.
Although it did do well. And finished second. But
well, it didn't, you know,
it didn't separate itself. I mean, there was really no movie that separated. Even Burn After Reading, number one, 19 million. Tyler Perry's movie, 17 million. And then Righteous Kill at 16. It was really so close that...
It was a bit of a horse race between two and three. The only thing with the Tyler Perry movie, it's... You got to look at these numbers differently because it did well for its budget and its expectation. Right. But if you look at sort of like the Tyler Perry phenomenon, and I'm doing little quotey things with my fingers here,
quote unquote.
If you look at the Tyler Perry phenomenon, it's descending. It's a step down. He's sort of like the Clay Aiken of movies because he has this rabid following and he became very popular. A lot of people heard about him. And he will always have a following. I mean, Clay Aiken, 30 years from now, no matter how many gay rumors there are, no matter how many babies he artificially inseminates into 40-year-old women, there's still going to be this diehard, solid Clay Aiken following.
Sure.
But he's never going to get back to his almost million CD sales. And I think Tyler Perry's the same way. He's falling into his stock thing. He can make movies till the end of time, and he's going to have people seeing him. But I think the days of like the $40 million opening of Diary of a Mad Black Woman are probably gone.
Right. And I think it's worth noting that up until very recently, up until right before we...
right before we recorded.
Yes. This was his best reviewed film.
Oh, really?
Yes. On Rotten Tomatoes. And I'm currently trying to get the statisticals here.
But I also believe it's a second softest opening. I think Daddy's Little Girl was really bad. But.
And I think that, you know, it's at a 52% on Rotten Tomatoes. It is his best reviewed film. The next closest was Why Did I Get Married at 46. So what that says to me is they probably could have benefited from some of these positive reviews coming out before the movie came out as opposed to not screening it for
not screening it. Well, and I think also... It's significant to say by now this is what, like, his sixth movie he's made or something like that.
Oh yeah.
You know exactly what you're getting when you go into a Tyler Perry movie.
Right.
Even if you haven't seen any of them.
Right.
By just hearing about them and knowing the themes he covers, you know what you're going to get. So it's sort of like if you're going to go watch Saw 5.
Right.
I don't think there's anybody who's going to go watch Saw 5 and be like, "Oh, it wasn't as good as Brideshead Revisited," or something like that.
Right.
Because you know what you're going to get with Saw movies.
Mm-hmm.
And not to compare it to his, you know, Tyler Perry's movies, but I think everyone, he makes a very specifically themed movie. You're never going to see him make the goofy road comedy with, Sean
Jamie
William
Kennedy.
Scott and Jamie Kennedy. Yeah. That will never
but
happen.
But I think it is important to note that it is his best received movie critically.
Yeah.
And
because it had white people in it. I don't know.
Wow. I'm just gonna let the last 15 seconds of this segment tick off the clock.
Well, it's significant to say.
Because I have nothing else to say to
that. It is significant to say. It was the first movie that
it had Kathy Bates in it. You could have said it, but no Kathy Bates nude scene.
No, but all of his movies, like even like Why Did I Get Married, was just.
I'm cutting you off. Whatever. We're going to a break. And we've reached our most popular segment, apparently.
Let's get ready to offend people.
The internet-only segment. And this week, of course, our topic of the week is Dane Cook, because his movie is the big headliner, unfortunately. But
Dane Cook is like your vomit after drinking too many beers and eating too much of White Castle.
Oh.
That is my opinion of Dane Cook.
Nasty. Nasty. Anyways, so I wanted to start with some statistical data about Dane Cook.
Okay.
Movie
he
tickets.
Is 82% douchebag, 18% water.
MovieTickets.com did a poll, and they asked their, viewers, clicksters, whatever, what Dane Cook should do. And the
aside
option,
from put a shotgun in his mouth and pull the trigger?
I don't think that was on there. But the options are as follows. Stick to stand-up comedy was number one. Keep acting was number two. And give away humpback whales was the very curious third answer.
Where is he going to get the said humpback whales?
I don't know, but I think it's important to note that 27% of people think that he should do that.
You know,
I don't understand.
This looks like a poll between Barack Obama and John McCain and Ralph Nader.
No, Barack Obama, John McCain, and George Lopez.
George, yeah, exactly. Like, yeah.
Like, or
Dane Cook,
that,
you know.
Or how random is that?
37% for Barack Obama, 36% for John McCain, and 27% for Dane Cook.
Yep, exactly. 36% said that he should keep acting. I think in this room, at least, we voted zero for that one. And 37% said he should stick to stand-up comedy, which I would mostly agree with. I think
you
his
like
stand-up's
his stand-up
good.
Comedy.
His new album's supposed to come out in the winter, so we'll see how that goes. But I thought this was funny, and I also thought that we should do some sort of list to this.
We have been told by our fans.
Yes.
All three of them.
So we've decided to play the feud.
Thanks, Drew.
You're going to play Richard Karn, and...
Well, wait, should I play Richard Karn, the guy from Seinfeld, or Drew Carey? Or should I be Richard Dawson and
Richard
be really
Dawson.
Creepy, drunk, and kiss every woman that's on stage?
We don't have any women on stage, so I think the Richard Dawson thing's out.
I'll have to kiss you.
But these are...
Can I kiss the poster of Juno?
Sure. We did a survey of each other.
Because you know what, Richard Dawson, just it didn't matter what the woman looked like.
Making out with her?
He would totally want to kiss him. Which I think proved that he was gay, because he's just like, hey, it's a vagina. Let me kiss the thing that's attached to it.
Fair enough.
We're doing a list.
Right,
go
we're
on,
doing a
yes.
list. So this is our feud-style survey, and we did a survey amongst the Magical Studio in the Sky, and these are the five jobs that Dane Cook should have instead of being an actor. And I'll start with number five. The survey says he should co-host At the Movies. And
not
could,
fat guys at the movies.
No, just At the Movies. That show that was used to be Ebert and Roper. Used to be Ebert and Siskel and Ebert, and then Ebert and Roper, and then Roper and random weekly guest. And now it's Ben Lyons and Ben Mankiewicz.
So nobody and nobody. They could have put us on there, and it would have been way more entertaining.
Right. And so far, it's getting zero thumbs up from everyone. So we decided that they could just throw Dane Cook in there, and the show would probably get better.
You can't go worse.
Can't get any worse. So,
although it could be. Oh, I'll stay on track here. Okay,
number four.
Do we have the thing where people clap and like yell answers, like be like garbage collector, yes.
No.
And then you get up there and you say something like number four, grocery store cashier. Survey says, bing, you know, which it is. That's number four, grocery store cashier, because he was so effective in playing one
at in Employee of the Month.
I truly believe,
which I will admit that I saw and I didn't hate as much as everyone else did when it came out in theaters.
And part of the thing is, if I recall, it wasn't even Dane Cook. I mean, Dane Cook is bad in retrospect.
It was Jessica Simpson
was so bad. And Dax Shepard was terrible, too.
Well, yeah. I mean, Dax Shepard, the fact that he's also dating Kristen Bell.
That just makes me mad.
Makes me want to double kill him. So.
Yeah.
Anyways, number three.
When you got so much more you can, you know, feast on, like fat guys.
Right. Number three, survey says, is checkpoint guard in Iraq.
This one
was more of your suggestion, and I believe it has something to do with those are the people that get killed most often.
Usually when you hear somebody, you know, American casualties, it's either an insurgent attack or it's somebody who just gets, you drew the wrong shift.
Right.
At the checkpoint guard and some bomb, car bomb or something, and it's always a shame. You know, we support the troops. We support.
At this point, we probably are offending someone that.
Well, the whole point is, you know, I think the people over in harm's way, you know, they're doing a great job. You know, they are given what they're given, and they sometimes just get some.
We would just like to give them Dane Cook.
And yeah, so whenever it always kind of hurts you when you're watching the news and it says Americans died in Iraq, and this would be the one thing that if it came across the news and said an American died in Iraq today, it's okay, it's Dane Cook. I think the country would be happier.
Right. Definitely.
Yeah.
Nice. And I'll do number two because number one is all yours.
Okay.
Number two in our survey of five jobs Dane Cook should have instead of being an actor, stand-up comedian.
Service
I think the rest of America agrees.
Yes.
So he really should just kind of stick to his stand-up, which even that isn't, I don't know.
He's no Gallagher.
His first album was a lot better than his second album. His third album was meh.
You know what's great about...
So we'll see how his next album goes.
That's what's great about that line, he's no Gallagher.
Yeah.
No matter who you're saying that about,
right?
It's probably accurate.
Right, because no one else is Gallagher.
You'd be like George Carlin, and you'd be like, he was no Gallagher.
Right.
Yeah, because he was way better. Or you can say somebody like, I don't know.
He's no Cat Williams.
Andy Dick. You'd be like, well, he's no Gallagher because even though Gallagher's not a good comedian,
right,
he's not urinating on people's shoes in the bathroom during his shows.
Right.
And ripping... teenage girls' tops off outside of the comedy clubs.
Fair enough.
Number one, survey says fluffer. The most appropriate job for Dinka. Do you know what a fluffer is? Should we explain it to everybody? It is the internet only.
I've never worked as one or with one, but I do know what they do.
Never worked as a gaffer on a film crew, but I know what they do.
I know what a fluffer does.
Okay. What does a fluffer do?
I don't know if I'm comfortable talking about it.
Let's just say when the... And I'm doing this for the sake of our audience. It is internet only.
Fair enough.
While filming an adult movie, they will have occasionally performance
downtime
issues. You know, they have to stop, they maybe have to reset, and let's just say that the cat goes back in the bag is a good way of putting it. A little bit. And what a fluffer does is assists in letting the cat out of the bag as much as it can go.
Assists in keeping the performers ready.
Yes.
For
yes.
their performance.
Yes.
Okay.
Fluff.
Yeah, they fluff
and them. they actually are known for using their they suck on the cocks just to make them stay hard. That's all it is to a people. And that is the most appropriate thing that Dane Cook could do.
Oh, we're all going to hell.
Yeah. Well, just wait till this segment because we're on
right.
my
Up
Kevin's,
next.
No, Kevin's random topic.
Yeah, I know. Kevin's random topic of the week, due to the fact that Kevin always has a random topic or seven to talk about during the show, decided to give him his own segment this week.
Thank you. It's partly
so,
my show.
It's all yours.
All right. Well, this is the thing. I've recently got a DVR, and I, as you know, I have a 4-month-old at home, so I take care of him during the day, which means I can't like get on the internet and do work and write reviews or whatever when you're
right.
feeding a 4-month-old. So I'm like DVRing like every Family Guy episode that replays and every South Park episode that replays. So I got
right.
stuff to watch.
Although you could just watch the South Park episodes on your computer for free.
Well, yeah, but it's...
SouthParkStudios.com.
Yeah,
it's
I know
one of
that.
My favorite
I'm aware
websites.
I'm of that, but it's just, it's easier when it's on the DVR. So anyways, so I was watching Family Guy, and if you haven't watched Family Guy, it's like, it's a 22-minute show, because it's, you know, and 10 minutes of it's the actual story, and then the other 10 minutes is stuff like where Peter will be like, ah, this reminds me of the time that Chachi got raped by elves, and then they cut to a scene, and there's Chachi getting raped by elves,
right.
and then they come back. And it has nothing to do with the show. It's just these random...
Right.
And you either love it or hate it because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So they had an episode where they reference an episode of Different Strokes called The Bicycle Man. Did you watch Different Strokes?
Nope.
This was one of those, quote, very special episodes. If you look on Wikipedia under very special episodes, it will list this.
Right.
And it's a story about... Are you familiar with Different Strokes? The characters?
Vaguely.
Two little kids from Harlem. Well, they grew up, but Arnold and his brother Willis, and this
what
rich
you talking
guy,
about Willis?
Yeah, this rich guy adopts him,
right.
kind of takes him out of the Harlem ghetto, and brings him, gives him a really nice life. So Arnold, played by Gary Coleman, he was like 11. The character was supposed to be 11 or whatever, something like that. 9, 10, 11.
But Gary
like that.
Coleman was like 35.
Yeah, and he was like 46.
Right.
He was a grandfather already, and the episode featured Gordon Jump.
Mm-hmm.
As a guy who ran a bicycle shop, and Arnold and his friend Dudley go into the bicycle shop, and they get to know this guy, and the guy turns out to be a child molester. And it was this big deal episode when they showed it back in the 80s.
Right.
And I was, because you're way too young for this, because you were, I don't even know.
I was born in the 80s.
Yeah, you weren't even born, I think, when they aired this episode. If a parent watching this episode was... aware of what it was about, but they didn't explain. It just said, you know, it had these disclaimers at the beginning, you didn't know what it was. So for me, when I saw this as like a 10-year-old kid,
right,
it was just as traumatizing and confusing
as the first time you were molested. Yeah.
If I were molested, because he like takes them into his back room and he's like makes like Dudley take his shirt off and they're like playing wrestling and he's giving them wine and he's showing them dirty pictures and dirty cartoons. And sort of the gist is then Arnold kind of gets if you search YouTube for Different Strokes child molester, you'll find excerpts from it. And then Arnold gets uncomfortable and he goes home and he tells his dad and they like call the police. And like this is the weirdest part is it's because it's so trite and contrived. Our Dudley's dad comes down. The police come in and Dudley's dad comes down. And Dudley's dad's like, oh, says to Dudley, it's not your fault. And it's like he never actually even molests him. He just like tries to. And then they catch him. And like Dudley's dad's like, oh, it's okay. Oh, you're okay. And he's very, I'm like, are you kidding me? He would have been down there with a shotgun, and right. he would have rammed it up Gordon Jump's ass and blew his head off. And this is the thing, because also as a kid, like 10-year-old, I'm watching, I'm like going, Mr. Carlton from WKRP is a child molester? It really bothered me. But the funniest part about the whole thing was, nowadays, they don't have as many laugh tracks on shows. They always had to have laugh tracks in the 80s, even MASH. And I remember when MASH did an episode and they didn't have a laugh track. They really had to fight to let the network do that,
right.
for them to do that. So when they made sitcoms back then, they always had the understanding that you needed to have so many laughs per episode.
Right.
So here's this show. It was two-parter. And it's about serious, serious, awful things.
Right.
But, well, like, where it's like South Park or Family Guy or something like that, we'll make jokes about child molestation, but it's all done either in satire or it fits the mold.
Uh-huh.
This one is basically this really horrible, uncomfortable topic, and they keep throwing in these laughs.
Right.
And so as they're watching, they literally have Mr. Carlton showing them a porno cartoon, and the kids are like, whoa? And they're like, that cartoon mouse just lost his pants, and look, there's a naked female mouse. And everyone's laughing. And so if you go back
when
and
it should be deeply disturbing.
Yeah, and it's like they're still getting laughs out of this.
That's awesome.
And then like Arnold like leaves. He's like, this is too much for me. Ha 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 ha. And he leaves. Basically, he leaves to let his friend get raped.
Nice.
And it's sort of part of the joke. And it's that I found more disturbing than anything else is that people still laughed at the jokes within this subject matter, right. even though it wasn't like South Park where it was, you know, that was the joke.
Right.
This was serious stuff, but oh, ha, ha, ha. They even had the whole, what you talking about, Mr. Drummond? I mean, it was literally, he's like, did you watch porno movies with this guy? What you talking about, Mr. Drummond? And then everyone's laughs, and I'm like, that's not funny.
Right.
This guy's down there raping children.
Wow.
So anyways, go watch that. We'll put a link to the, we'll put a link sure. to it on the show notes.
Why not?
I just thought that was very say. Funny.
All right.
It's a different world we live in now.
It certainly is. All right, so that was Kevin's.
You know what's funny? You know what also
inappropriate
is funny?
Topic of the week.
Gordon Jump. I think he's like a Mormon, or was.
So he? Okay.
Yeah, which is I think it's just even weirder that he would play a child molester.
Cool.
They're like Mormon of the week is a child molester.
Nice.
Not saying anything about the Mormons. God bless them.
Maybe.
It was a weird time in American television history.
Nice. I really think that we need to go to a break after that.
Okay, you're not going to read our emails?
No, you've sucked out my will to live with that particular topic. We had a lot of great emails from readers. A lot of them were very long, so sorry we can't read those. We've obviously run out of time because Kevin was busy talking about child molestation.
Can I mention one thing? We had a guy named Mr. Alien write to us.
Which was probably the coolest name so far.
Very in-depth, but I just have a question. I'm going to quote part of his email.
Yeah.
Hope you got something nice and practical. We're talking about my birthday.
Right.
Like a Blu-ray player or a hooker. Han, honestly, either one is going to provide hours of entertainment and cost for $300. Mr. Alien, where are you getting your hookers that will give you hours of entertainment for $300?
And if that's true, you might want to get yourself tested.
Yeah, go get some antibiotics.
So, but thank you very much. And Drew Nugent, one of our all-time loyal followers.
Who knows nothing about hookers. He's way too
nothing about hookers. But he also emailed in and is a big fan of the show, which is good. Everybody's a big fan.
And apparently
keep those emails coming.
And apparently there's a guy who gave our phone number to
the VA
hospital down in Chillicothe, Ohio. And this guy apparently needs to get his blood tested.
Yep, and he should not take some kind of medicine.
Metformin. He's diabetic, and they need to test his blood. So the guy's like going to go into sugar shock.
So if you take metformin, don't take it.
Well, no, if you do, if you take, if you're this guy,
don't take it.
't take it. But everyone else, if you're prescribed metformin, take your metformin.
Okay.
I do not want to be.
We don't want to be responsible.
I don't want to have
any
people have skyrocketing blood sugar because of me.
Fair enough. When we come back, we will try and see what we can do to your blood sugar with our DVD roundup. And now that that's over,
just in case you were hanging out for the internet only segment.
We say this
every... I'm glad to be done with that.
We say this every week. It's kind of a joke when we come back. We're like, hey, if you're listening to us on the radio and you didn't hear the internet only, don't go and listen to it. Seriously.
This is not the week.
This is not the time to test that one out.
Yeah, so if you're lucky enough to hear us on the radio...
We're talking about Different Strokes.
Yeah.
To say the TV least. Show.
Yep.
I'm not going to go into detail. But
basically.
Yes.
But now it is time to get on with your regularly scheduled programming and the DVD roundup. Good job. So we'll start with Kevin's picks, plural.
Let me give you the first one is Speed Racer, because I liked the movie. I thought it was pretty cool. I was sad to see
it.
It
was just too long to watch in a theater with kids.
Way too long, but it's so sad that it didn't do well, because it really is a visually awesome movie.
And yeah, very cool.
So I say rent it, and you can watch it in two or three parts with your kids. If you've got a Blu-ray player and a HD TV, I'm sure it's absolutely mind-blowing.
Cool. I don't know. I didn't get it on Blu-ray. Thanks, Warner Brothers. So,
that's it.
But
my other one, believe it or not, I'm recommending The Love Guru. And this is why.
I'm all ears.
This is not a good movie. It's a terrible movie, actually. It's probably easily one of the worst of the year, mm-hmm. and it's probably going to keep that spot. However... there's that obnoxious Hindu leader, Rajan Zed,
right.
who has been claiming victory because he's been protesting this movie, and he says that that's why, because people were offended. And I'm like, no, the people didn't go see The Love Guru because it was a terrible, terrible film. It had nothing to do with protests.
Right.
And this guy's out there claiming victory. He's getting stories written about him. He's still spamming my email, and he's attaching a picture of himself to it now. This guy just needs to be put in this place. He's now trying to get it
banned
from India.
So we need to make The Love
India.
Guru the number one movie, the number one DVD sale.
Yeah, seriously, go out and buy it. Use it as a coaster. I'm not even telling you to watch it. I'm just saying buy or rent it. Put it in your next Netflix queue.
Jessica Alba's on the cover, if that makes you feel any better.
Yeah, I mean, just to shut this guy up, because he needs to be punched in the face.
Fair enough.
That's very Hinduist of me.
All right, my pick... is a television show. We got Chuck season one. Two reasons. One, I think Chuck is probably one of the more clever serialized shows. You know, two reasons.
Oh, you're doing it like a gangster. You know, you're putting the two to the side.
Chuck is probably one of the better. What's the term for it? It's
chicken.
It's not a serial. It's a
Sasquatch.
It's a sitcom-ish type show where
I was way off with Sasquatch.
It's not a big primetime drama. It's just
What's it about?
30-minute show. It's about a guy who works for the Nerd Herd at a store called the Buy More.
Oh, okay.
And he in
this
the first
is why you like
in the first episode. This is why I started watching it. In the first episode, he is sent secrets, this batch of CIA secrets from his old college buddy who got him kicked out of college, and it downloads into his brain. Apparently, he has something about him that... So he has all of this government information, these secrets, inside of his brain. So then Yvonne Strahovski, who plays the hot secret agent, now has to just guard him.
She the blonde chick on the cover?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, yep. She's good looking.
So it's a really funny show. It's quite a lot of fun. I can't wait for the second season to start, so... If you haven't discovered Chuck, my recommended path for watching TV is usually on DVD. So that and Pushing Daisies came out.
Was Osborne Cox the guy who he got the secrets from?
Maybe.
That would be John Malkovich from Burn After Reading.
Right. So
the stinker of the week?
Oh, this is a huge stinker.
Easy peasy on this one.
They get the stinker for stealing the cover from the Bourne Ultimatum.
Totally.
Or the Bourne Supremacy.
And I think they did it so that you would think you're getting Bourne Supremacy.
Matt Damon movie.
Two, where Al Pacino plays Jason Bourne's father.
Yeah.
But really, you're getting 88 Minutes.
Which is John Abnett's second best movie of the year.
Which
isn't saying much.
Every frame in this movie stinks.
It all stinks. All 88 minutes of it stinks.
And sadly, the movie is 108 minutes.
It's not as advertised.
It is
false advertising.
20 minutes longer than what they promise on the cover, and
that's
all
crap.
Bad. Yeah, it's terrible.
Anyways, moving on to the review wrap-up, we'll start with Lakeview Terrace, which Kevin saw and said...
Sucked.
Big time.
Kerry Washington, you're hot, but couldn't save the movie.
The other movie that we reviewed firsthand was Ghost Town, which I saw and I said kind of rocks, especially if you like Ricky Gervais. And then we had two movies that we didn't see, My Best Friend's Girl and Igor.
Both get preemptive sucks.
Totally. That's what you get, Weinsteins and Lionsgates people.
And I'm pretty much certain that My Best Friend's Girl...
is going to suck. Whether or not we see it.
They could have shown it to him. It probably would suck. Igor, my prediction is it's probably going to be a on-the-fence kind of thing, just depending on how old you are.
Yeah.
If you're a kid, you'll like it.
Fair enough. Up next week, we've got a big show next week. We've got Eagle Eye, which I believe will have some audio from an interview or something.
That was my Eagle call.
Yeah, cool. I know Brian did an interview with Eagle Eye director DJ Caruso, so we'll see if we can get some audio from that. We also have Spike Lee's new film, Miracle at St. Anna, which I don't think we're seeing before.
No, we are.
We are?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, we're seeing.
Cool. We've also got Choke, which I've already seen and already reviewed.
And he's like quoted.
And I'm quoted on their TV commercial. So if you watch the Colbert Report or the Daily Show, you'll see my quote.
Or it's also on Family Guy. I've seen that ad on Family Guy.
Oh, sweet. We've also got Knights in Rodanthe, which is the new Nicholas Sparks adaptation, which I heard is bad, but we'll see, I suppose.
I skipped that
and,
one.
And The Lucky Ones, which I have no idea what that is.
Well, it's got a definite Home of the Brave vibe to it. It's about Iraq War veterans.
Oh, right. Another Iraq War movie. Can't wait.
More people whining and complaining. Wait until it's over 10 years later, then you can make these movies and they'll be much more significant.
Yep.
Like Vietnam.
Anyways, if you would like to join the party in between now and then and send us some feedback, you can hit us at fatguysatthemovies.com. You can also email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. Give us a call, 614-388-8735. And if you're looking to listen to us, which you're already doing, just hit us up on iTunes.
And if you've got a VA hospital appointment on October 7th in Chillicothe, please call them and get your blood taken.
Exactly. That's all I have. That's awesome.
I don't know. I'm just saying.